Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Thank you, sister. Brenda and I are so deeply grateful. Sorry. We are so deeply grateful to be part of this church family. And I want to thank you so much for the love you've shown us. Thank you so much for your prayers. I mean, the support you have given us. The food you brought to our house. The flowers. The cards. For those who filled in for me while I was gone. Your outpouring of love means so much to us. And so much to my family. And we are deeply grateful to be part of this church home. Deeply grateful. We love you so very much. I know it's going to be a lesson this morning that's going to be difficult for me. And so I want you to just kind of bear with me. But before I get into the lesson, I've asked my elders to come and just pray over me this morning. And so I'd like to have my elders to come up, and our brother Phil, one of our elders, will be leading that prayer. And just put their hands on me and just pray for me as I present this message this morning, because it's going to be a tough one. And pray for me with this cough too, brother, please.
Eternal and loving Father, we're pausing today to thank you, first of all, that it is in you that we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
So we praise you for that. But being human, Father, we come before you with deep burdens and deep needs.
Mm-hmm.
You've taught us in your word to be thankful. We're thankful for the good times as well as those that are not so good.
Amen.
It's easy when it's good. It's difficult when we walk through dark valleys. Fred and his family have been walking through a very, very dark valley. But Father, you promised in your word that you would walk us through that valley, which is dark as death, and you would give the victory.
Amen.
We thank you for Fred. Thank you for his family. But he stands before you as your servant today, and we pray, Father, for strength for him. We're thankful to you that even though tears have been shed, we're promised in your word, as David reminds, that you hold our tears in your bottle. You know about our grief. And so for the moment today, help us to put aside loss for a moment in order to hear a message for eternity.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that Fred has prepared this message out of deep experience and study in the Word. We thank you that you have empowered him to preach the message today. So we ask a blessing upon him. Give him an extra measure of your grace as he stands before us, your servant, preaching your Word. Give him strength, but also we ask you not only to give him physical strength and may his cough be under control, but that you will give him clear mind and clear speech, that in the Holy Spirit today, as the word is preached, may the whole counsel of God be proclaimed by your servant, Fred. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
God bless you.
Thank you, brother, so much. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul as I read verses 1 through 8. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul writes, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, this earthly body, we groan in our burden because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us a spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. Say that with me. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. These words of the Apostle Paul came flooding into my mind around 1 o'clock, Thursday morning, July 29th, while Brenda and I were at Community South Hospital looking at our boy attached to a ventilator. And that's when we finally were able to come to the decision that a parent should never have to make, and that was to let our boy die if he coded again. And all I could think of was how Stephen's earthly tent, his physical body, had given out in trying to keep him here any longer. And that worn out body was selfish on my part. Sorry. Brenda and I stayed about another hour looking at our son through a glass door and a small window. But being so weakened from my bout with the virus, I told Brenda, "Hun, we're going to have to go home." And the nurse let us gown up and put on gloves and a special mask. And she let us go inside that room and touched our son and tell him we love him for the last time and tell him that we're going to see him very soon. We left the hospital ICU about 2 o'clock that morning. And as Brenda and I slowly headed to the car, I had to stop. Again, just so weakened from this virus. I was at the end of it. But I had to stop and just sit on the bench and rest up. And as I was sitting there, a woman, a hospital employee, came out of the front door listening to a preacher on her cell phone. And he was preaching 2 Corinthians 5. Saying how our earthly tents, our body, groan to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And at that moment, I just a sense of peace just came over me as if God was speaking directly to Brenda and me and saying, "Fred and Brenda, I am going to take good care of your son. Stephen is going to be okay." And I believe that wholeheartedly. Again, this is going to be hard. Just bear with me, please. Paul presents a wonderful message from 2 Corinthians 5 that I just want to get across this morning. And Stephen has given us the perfect object lesson, emphasizing Paul's point that he made to the Corinthian church. Paul was writing to a church that was struggling with the belief that there was a resurrection, and therefore believed that there was life after death. And the apostle is writing to assure them that there is indeed a resurrection and there's life beyond what this earthly tent of ours experience. I mean, our bodies will one day deteriorate. And, you know, those of us who are older already feel the ravages of old age. Am I right about that? We feel those aches and pains and just not like it used to be. In fact, Paul writes these words prior to writing, starting in chapter 5. In chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul said this. He said, "Therefore, we do not want you to lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal." I mean, Paul says that whatever we go through on this earth, whatever it is, Paul said that it doesn't even minutely compare to the glory that is ours in heaven. I mean, what we experience on this earth is only temporary. And friends, we all know life is often difficult. That brings pain and sorrow and sickness and death. I mean, life on earth hurts. It hurts. But then, as it happened for Stephen at 6:30 a.m. on July 29th, heaven opens its door and eternal life with the Father begins. We can't see it, but we fix our eyes on the unseen and rejoice with our son, our brother, and our uncle, who has received his crown of life and a glorious eternal dwelling place with God. Amen? Amen. I want us to begin this lesson here by first of all talking about our earthly tent. Our earthly tent. Our physical body. Again, Paul said in verse 1, if our temporary earthly tent is destroyed, it's torn down, worn out, demolished, deceased, God has an eternal heavenly dwelling ready to take our place. Stephen's earthly tent had been wearing out for a long time. Some of you had never met Stephen. I mean, it's been a few years since he's been able to come worship with us. And it wasn't because he didn't want to be here or worship with his church family anymore, but his body, his earthly tent was in constant pain. He was our sound booth guy. This here was taken during our outdoor worship, during our homecoming. Remember our homecoming back in 2014? And he loved working the sound booth, but he did so through excruciating back pain. And a lot of people just didn't know that. But Marilyn knew that. Marilyn, in fact, tried her best to accommodate Stephen, and so she bought this big old office chair for him to help support his weight, to help support him. In fact, this office chair is in the family room. It's the one that everybody likes to sit in. But it still just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for him. And I remember the very last day that he was here, and I mean, with this sadness in his heart, in his voice, he said, "Dad, I just can't do this. I hate to say this, but I just cannot sit there for 2 hours and do sound anymore. My body just won't take it. I mean, you're going to have to get somebody else to do sound." And it was a tough decision that he made. Stephen was grossly overweight, and it took a major toll on his body. And he knew it was no one's fault but his own. And he struggled. Oh, he struggled. I mean, downloading calorie counting amps, apps, and keeping record of every bite of food that he put into his body. And he did lose some weight. He did lose some weight, but he just gained it all back again. And Stephen was, he was very conscientious about his weight, or really conscientious about the way that he looked. I mean, when he was able to go with us to out to eat with us, people would stare and whisper and point as we were being directed to our table. And Stephen would act like it didn't bother him, but I knew it did. And then there was that time when Stephen just couldn't leave the house anymore. And the only time that he would he would leave the house, would go to Shonda's, his sister's house, you know, when he was able, because he loved so much being with his family, and he was going to get there even though it was excruciatingly painful for him to cram his body in that SUV. So yes, Stephen had a problem that he brought upon himself. But how about you? How about me? You ever had problems you brought on yourself? Yeah, we've all been there, haven't we? But aren't you thankful that our problems, our struggles, our weaknesses are not held against us by our merciful Heavenly Father? Amen? They're not. Stephen struggled, but God knew his weakness. He knew his struggle. When people who didn't know Stephen looked at him, many saw only a pathetic man who was morbidly obese. And I'm sure that they had their judgmental words ready to set him straight. But if only they would look past the weakened, deteriorating, earthly tent, they would see a man who had an amazing capacity to love. And in turn, have people love him. Because those who knew Stephen couldn't help but love that man. I mean, he was smart and funny and spiritually minded. And really, he knew something just about everything. I mean, we called him Mr. Trivia. He was Mr. Trivia. He was the go-to guy if you had a question about anything. Now, I must admit, there were times I had no idea what Stephen was talking about. I mean, it was just too deep for me. It went way over my head, and I just nodded and said, uh-huh, every once in a while. I mean, he was so intelligent. Am I right, family? He was intelligent. And those of you who have been in our home for small groups can attest to Stephen's Bible knowledge and his simple words of wisdom as he opened up and shared what was on his heart. I mean, he loved this church family. He wanted to be here. He loved this church family. So yes, Stephen's earthly tent was wearing out long before he got COVID. But inwardly, he was being renewed daily. And those who loved him were the beneficiaries of that renewal. Let's get back to our text. As Paul writes these words, I wonder if Paul had his own earthly tent in mind. I mean, Paul had been beaten and stoned on multiple occasions for his faith in Christ. He endured hunger and sleepless nights, and his body was exposed to extreme elements. I mean, his earthly tent, his body was abused and ravaged in ways that we can't even imagine. But not only that, did you realize that Paul endured an illness? I mean, he had an illness that must have been somewhat grotesque in the eyes of others. In fact, Paul commended the Galatian church for not being turned off by his illness. I want you to just turn a few pages over. 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians 4. And I want you to look at this passage. Excuse me just a moment. In Galatians 4, verse 13. Somehow I'm in Ephesians and that just did not work. Galatians 4:13, Paul said this. He said, as you know, I it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Look what he says, verse 14. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Jesus Christ himself. What has happened to your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. I mean, whatever Paul's illness was, scholars believe it had something to do with his eyes, possibly even when he was on the road to Damascus and his eyes had those scales, that there was something there. It wasn't something that wasn't unnoticeable. In fact, not only was it quite evident, but I believe Paul is saying here that it was unpleasant to look at. It was unpleasant to look at, so much so that the Christians of Galatia could have treated him with contempt and scorn, but didn't. You know, people can be so cruel at times, can't they? So could Paul be thinking, you know, my earthly tent is wearing out and I'm ready to exchange it for my heavenly dwelling? Is that what Paul is saying when he writes these words? And wanting the Christians at Corinth to understand, boy, there's something better than this body. There's something better than this life. Brothers and sisters, this earthly tent of ours is only temporary. And no matter how well you take care of it, one day it is going to give out. It is going to give out. In fact, James pointed out in James 4, verse 14, he says that our life is like a mist that's here, you know, for a little while and then it vanishes. It's like it's here, then poof, it's gone compared to eternity. Our physical bodies were not designed to last forever. Do we not realize that? It wasn't designed to last forever. Our home is not this earth. Our home has been prepared for us in heaven. That's where we are. Do you remember the old hymn, you know, this world is not my home? Do you remember that hymn? That old hymn that, you know, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No. Yeah, someone is singing that song. So let's bring this to our second point, our eternal home in heaven. Again, Paul tells us in verse 2, he says, in this declining, decaying, worn-out earthly tent, we groan longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If you were to ask Stephen just 2 weeks ago, if he wanted to go to heaven, I mean, he would have emphatically said yes. But then in his humorous way, he would be quick to say something like, but I'm not planning to pack my bags today. I mean, we all want to go to heaven. Am I right about that? We all want to go to heaven and we're ready, but not right now. I mean, I'm deeply grateful to God that through His grace and mercy, our Son is in heaven, but I did not want Him there now. I didn't want Him there now. But if I were able to speak with Stephen from his heavenly dwelling place, he would emphatically say, Dad, you wouldn't believe this new body I have. You wouldn't believe it. I don't have pain anymore. I can move. I can dance. Stephen did a mean cabbage patch. My family knows. He did. And Dad, I can get on my knees and bow down before the throne of God. And no one has to help me stand up anymore. I can do it all by myself. Paul said in verse 4 of our text, he said, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Death swallowed up by life. I mean, Stephen's body had become a burden to him. But Paul was speaking of something more than just a physical limitations. He was speaking of a deep physical and spiritual longing to be with God. Again, we were created for something more than what this physical world can provide. I mean, while on earth, God wants us to enjoy life. He does. While we're here, He wants us to enjoy His creation. I mean, Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. We can enjoy what we have. But whatever this world may provide, whatever desire may be fulfilled, whatever need may be met, there will still be a deep longing as our bodies groan to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia books, once wrote, he said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Pardon me. Please do not shake my hands today, okay? Lying in the hospital, I just know that Stephen's thoughts were not only focused on his family, and I know he thought about his family. We were able to FaceTime him several times. But not only was it focused on his family, but on what heaven was going to be like. I believe that. I truly believe that he knew that his body, his earthly tent, was given out. The doctors fought to save his life. But when our bodies reach a point of extreme fatigue and deterioration, that's when God gives us a peaceful resolve, and our focus shifts from what is seen to the unseen. What is temporary to what is eternal. I mean, when Stephen accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior and put him on in baptism as a young man, God had given him a guarantee that one day he will be with his heavenly Father in heaven. And that guarantee is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit himself. After writing how death will be swallowed up by life, Paul goes on to say in verse 5, he says this. He says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, this purpose to live eternally with Him in heaven, and has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, when the ambulance came and picked up Stephen, none of us, his mom and I, his sisters, his nieces and nephews, none of us really knew what the outcome was going to be. I mean, we prayed. We prayed and we were hopeful that God would make him well, that one day he'd become walking out of the hospital. That's what our prayer was. However, there were no guarantees that Stephen would come to our home again. But God had already guaranteed my son an eternal home with Him. And yes, we still would love to have Stephen with us, but I would not take him from his heavenly home for anything in the world. I know that I'm not the only one who is in this room who has lost a loved one, a family member, or friend to COVID, or the complications from COVID. So this is what I like to do today. I want to pray for you today. And so if you're willing, will you please stand? If you lost a loved one, a family member, or a friend to this terrible disease, will you please stand where you are, please? People standing all over this room. You know what I'm going through, don't you? Will you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, we love you so very much. We are so deeply grateful for your son Jesus, for the hope and forgiveness we have in him. Dear Father, thank you for that. Thank you for our eternal home in heaven. Thank you for that. Father, in this room are people standing, people who have loved ones, lost loved ones, family members, friends to this, to COVID-19. And whether it was just a little over a week ago or months ago, Father, it still hurts. It hurts. And their hearts are broken. They talk about their loved ones often. They think about them often. But Father, I pray that you please be with those standing here today, dear Father, to bring us peace and comfort and strength, knowing, dear Father, that our loved ones are with you. Thank you, Father, for giving them to us. Thank you for giving us Stephen for 36 years. Help us, dear Father, through these difficult times. And let our focus, dear Father, not be on what is seen, but on the unseen. Knowing, dear Father, that we all have and promised and guaranteed a home with you in heaven. Thank you, Father, for your love. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You go ahead and be seated. Back to 2 Corinthians 5. Paul concludes this section of Scripture with these words, and I want you to listen to these. Verse 9. He says, because we have this heavenly dwelling place, he says, so we make it our goal to please Him, to please God, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul concludes this section by wanting us to know that heaven is for all who make it their constant goal to please God, to be like Him. I mean, we don't get to heaven by accident. We don't get there by accident. We don't wake up, we don't wake up in heaven one day and ask, how did I get here? I mean, when Stephen opened his eyes in heaven, he knew exactly how he got there by giving his life to Christ and living for Him. And he wasn't perfect by any means. He was not a perfect man. Not any of us are perfect people. We don't get to heaven by our perfection. We get to heaven by Christ's perfection. And he wasn't perfect by any means, but it was his goal to live for Christ and depend on His grace. Depend on His grace. And you remember what Paul said grace does? I mean, grace not only saves us. Yes, it saves us, but it does much more than that. I want you to turn your Bible to Titus, will you please? Titus chapter 2. You see, this is what grace does for us. In Titus chapter 2. I bought this new Bible, and it's got the thinnest pages in the world. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, Paul said this. He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Do I get an amen? Amen. Amen. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Problem is, not all men will accept it, but it has appeared to all men. And look at what he says in verse 12. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Paul said that God's grace is not a license to sin. It's just the opposite. Because we have a dwelling place with heaven, because we are saved by the grace of God, we should want to live our lives pleasing to God in all things. We want to live for God. And he says here that grace teaches us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. Say that with me. What does grace teach us? To say no to sin and yes to Jesus. God has already done His part to get us into heaven. He gave us His Son to redeem us, to buy us back from Satan's clutches, to save us from our sins. Let's now do our part, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior and living our lives for Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me put this on. I don't want to cough in anybody's face. You know what the question is? Are you prepared to go to heaven? What Stephen's death brings to us very clearly is this, that life is short. It is short. Stephen was only 36. But it should help us to realize that knowing that life is short, we need to do all that we can to make the best of this life for God, to live for God, to serve God. I mean, God's got a place for us. The Bible says He goes to prepare a place specially for us. That's what He did for Stephen. And God's got a place for us. And He wants everybody to be there. He tells us, that Peter tells us that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to Him through repentance. He wants everyone to be with Him. But the problem is not everyone will. It's not because God doesn't want you there, but it's because there are those in the world who choose the world over Jesus. God loves you. He wants you to be with Him in heaven. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, will you let us talk to you about that? Or maybe you're here today and you're just struggling. You're just struggling. Maybe struggling dealing with problems and difficulties in your own life, and you need our prayers. In fact, this morning, I'd like to have just one of our elders to come up here with me this morning, if you will, please, or receive anybody who may come up today. But we're here to pray with you, to help you, to talk to you, to share with you, more deeply what it means to give your life to Jesus. And if we can help you this morning, we want to do that. We're going to be singing this invitation song. I've asked Don to sing this song. And I may cry through it, so just please bear with me if I cry through it. Will you please? But it's the song I can only imagine. And I can only imagine what Stephen is doing right now. I can only imagine that. But just think what heaven's going to be like. I mean, right now we can only imagine. We can't see it. It's unseen, Paul said, but it's eternal, and we can't see it. But Stephen has now experienced it. Your loved ones are now experiencing it that have gone before you. And it is something that I know is wonderful for Stephen. And I know that all of your loved ones are pleading with you to give your life to Jesus if you haven't yet. To turn your life over to Him. To live for Him. And so if we can help you this morning in any way, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing.